Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Circles of Prosperity. I'm Cynthia Johnson, and I'm here, one of your hosts. I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson this morning, and we are in the book study of oneness. And today we're starting in chapter 29, and I am so excited about this chapter because it's talking about religion and our relationship with religion and our relationship with God. So I want us to really have a hot and wonderful and enlightening, if it gets heated discussion. I want to hear everybody's opinion. You know, whenever you talk about religion, it's going to get, you know, touchy. But that's a good thing. Listen to all the diversity that we get to embrace today. I have opened up the chat room, and I'm going to be monitoring it to see if we can, if other people will join us, even in the chat room. Dr. Reggie, did you finally get logged on this morning?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. How are you this morning?
I feel wonderful. It is terrific Tuesday. You're right.
I just got a sip of my coffee. Did you get your coffee? Anyway, why don't you go ahead and start us with our opening prayer so we can jump right in.
All right. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I always enter the throne room with thank you in my heart. And I advise everyone else to always enter with an attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude. We are grateful for every good thing, every creation that came into us through you, even the creation of religion. Whether we're Buddhist, Catholic, Zoroastrian, Christian, Islamic, it doesn't matter what the religion is. It is about our relationship with you. Always is our connection with the higher self. Thank you, God, for letting us have the ability to praise and worship you in ourselves and always adore the energy of solitude and thanksgiving and meditation and contemplation and giving and worship as we see fit. Let us know that beyond all of that and beyond even the religious aspect of this whole thing, at the core, we are dynamic individuals, souls created by a loving Heavenly Father. And let us not forget who we are and where we come from. And in all of our getting, let us get understanding, because that's the most important thing, and it's to respect each other and to love each other in spite of our differences, in spite of what we think the world wants us to think. In spite of all these things, we are still your children, and we honor and worship you. Let us get this wonderful information this morning, outpoured by the Holy Spirit. We believe it is so, and so it is.
Thank you so much, Dr. Reggie. Thank you so much. So
yes.
I'm leaving your mic open this morning, Dr. Reggie, because I really want to just tear this chapter apart and really see how they want to expand our consciousness in terms of our spiritual journey.
Okay.
The subheading under chapter 29 says, transcending the spiritual dogmas of this reality. And so that's one of the things that they want us to, that they're going to focus on. The other is, says, a spiritual path tailored to every seeker. I'm going to have to turn your mic off, Dr. Reggie, because it's echoing. Two things distracted me for a moment. One was, as I started this chapter, the light in my room brightened. And that was kind of interesting. And then, of course, the echo. But as soon as I started this chapter, the light got brighter. So I think we're in for some wonderful lessons here today. Oneness starts by saying, there is no set way in which a being emerges into awareness at successive levels of perception. And even though each of you is on a similar journey through your experience of this particular level of reality, each of you has choreographed a unique dance that will not be experienced in quite the same way by anyone other than you. And so while it is possible to generalize about some of the phenomena that characterize this stage of the journey, there is no guarantee that your particular experience will include those perceptions. So we all are moving through this life, this spiritual experience, at different levels. We experience it differently because of our perception. You know, I had a wonderful dear aunt in her 80s, and Reggie and I had just gotten married, and of course we were having those initial little conflicts, and she would say, look, you can't expect this all to flow in the same way, or for both of you to look at situations the same way. Reggie was brought up by his parents, and they had certain beliefs. You were brought up by your parents, and they had certain beliefs. Two different worlds trying to merge to one. Marriage is wonderful in that way, because you get to merge into one and overcome the judgments and the conflicts and compromise and even shift in the way you think in order to make that marriage work. I believe marriage is a wonderful, wonderful institution. So we're not experiencing life in the same way. So there's no one set way to do things. They're establishing their hypothesis here. Now, some of you will require a prolonged series of repetitions of certain aspects of the process in order to release the elements that are keeping you rooted in denser levels of awareness. Because remember, from oneness perspective, this is a journey to ascension. We should be reaching higher levels of vibration and energy, okay? Others will experience instantaneous realization of the essence of an experience without the necessity to have the point drilled into your awareness over and over and over again. And my experience from my perception is that if I hear it once and it resonates with me, I get it, I transition, I move on. That's not everyone else's experience. And I must be honest that sometimes I'm a little impatient with people who keep dragging themselves through the mess. I'm like, can't you see what you're doing? But I have to love them where they are. Okay, these are choices each of you is making, and those choices determine the nature of your own unique experience. And the key word here is unique. We all are going on our own path. There may be other people on the journey with us. Some are walking faster. Some are lagging behind. But we're all on the same path, believe it or not. There are many traditional paths that offer formulas calculated to deliver the spiritual seeker to successive levels of awareness of one's divine connectedness. And these time-honored methods have helped many to experience a level of results in this timeless quest. Yet it should be understood that one is not required to select from traditional methods and accepted spiritual disciplines in order to reach the levels that are possible. Now, I know that I am stepping in some goo here, because if Oprah couldn't have this conversation without being attacked, I'm sure I can't have this conversation without being attacked. And guess what? It's okay. I welcome it, because we all have free will. And I embrace that diversity among us. So what they're telling us now is that there is not one path to enlightenment or to reach a higher level of awareness. That's what they call it. Those are their terms. There's not one path. And many Christians will tell me there's only one path, and that's through Jesus. So I will admit, I think that there are many paths to the one. Okay, that's my belief. I think Jesus is one of those paths, but I think that there are many paths to find oneness. You are not limited to any menu at all in choosing how to realize oneness. For the possible paths to the destination toward which you travel is limitless. Some have been discovered and developed into very elaborate systems that, if followed carefully, will ease the journey somewhat in predictable ways. It only eases the journey. Did you hear that? It eases the journey. Yet for some, such an approach is a bit like painting by numbers, because the result will emerge upon the canvas either way. How one chooses to experience the process of the creation of one's work of art is optional. So you may wish to experience your journey upon a well-trodden path along with others, equipped with maps and guidebooks and teachers who are willing to show you the way. But inevitably, all of those paths lead within, because the guides and the guidebooks can lead you just so far. And ultimately, once your footing is established, the journey is a solitary experience that cannot be replicated. You are not required to select and to practice a recognized spiritual discipline or to subscribe to a religion in order to fully experience your sacred journey to oneness. The people who are tuning in to Circles of Prosperity and downloading our archives of our lesson, they are seeking. But ultimately, it is your personal experience. It is going within yourself. It is canvassing your life and seeing principles manifest in your life that enrich your experience and enrich your journey to oneness. So no matter, even with oneness saying, hey, do this, try this, be aware of this, ultimately it is you going inside and exploring your divinity and the expression of that divinity in this reality. Ultimately, that it comes down to you. So you may wish to make such a choice, and you may derive, and what they're talking about, you may wish to choose a religion to follow. And you may derive great satisfaction and a powerful feeling of divine connectedness in doing so, but that is not to say that such a choice is appropriate for another seeker, or that it would necessarily yield a comparable result. There are many who will choose to forego the experience of a sacred journey via an established path and will source within their own inner sanctums a path that will deliver them to the same destination. You know, it reminds me of traveling. If you travel by car, we're coming from different cities, and we'll take different roads to get, let's say we're all going to a retreat. Some of us are coming from California, some from Georgia, some from New York, some from overseas. We're all traveling at different roads, even different modes of transportation, but we're ultimately going to get at the same destination. Why is it that we have to close the door on how we reach God? Don't we live in a limitless universe, and we create such a narrow path for people to find God within themselves? So my question is, why? Can anybody answer why they believe that happens? If you want to, you can press 1 on your telephone keypad. If not, I will continue. I'm going to explain to you why in a few minutes. Oneness says that there are no right and wrong roads to oneness, and there is no predictable way of determining which of the infinite number of possible routes is the most direct, for each journey is unique. The determination as to how one wishes to proceed on the spiritual path is one best made from the linear considerations of the mind, but rather from one's experience of the process itself. It matters less what you may or may not have read or heard or been taught as to what is the correct way to proceed on the spiritual path than what your own experience has shown you to be so. So I am teaching from my own experience. And maybe the things that I'm saying resonate with you, or maybe the things I'm saying insult you completely. And it's okay. Either way, I'm not here to be right. I'm only here to, for those who hear, let them hear. Isn't that what Jesus said? If you have ears to hear, let them hear. Not everyone is meant to hear this message. Dr. Reggie used to tell me that all the time. I'm not here to teach everyone. I'm only here to teach those who are ready to hear this message. It's not going to resonate with everybody. But even if it resonates with one, and that one person shifts in their understanding of self, I'm pleased. Their life has been improved. I hope all of you adopt that consciousness so that you're not forcing things on people. That you're the only thing that you're unwavering about is your desire to awaken people, but not that you're forcing them to be awakened, or forcing to save them. What are we saving them from? Because our life is meant to be experienced. I'm going to save them from you experiencing some part of your life that you've created that you need to go through to be awakened. I can't save your soul. None of us can save someone's soul. All we can do is awaken them. It's their personal journey. They have to save themselves if they need to be saved. So I'm using the terminology of fundamentalists. And then I put the question to you, do we really need to be saved? Oh, well, if you guys want to holler, press 1 because I'm ready to hear you holler. All right. So when weighing the relative merits of the various approaches to spiritual awakening, consider above all your own inner sensing of what is or is not truth for you. The moment I stepped into a New Thought church, it resonated with me. But there are some people that is the moment they walk in to study Wicca, which is a earth-based religion, which some people call witchcraft. And so don't get all freaked out, because Wicca and witchcraft are not really the same thing. Wicca is an earth-based religion. It has nothing to do with the devil whatsoever. It's all about recognizing God in nature as the creator of everything. And some people resonate with that. And we have a resurgence of young people that are coming in now that's all they understand. They don't understand this Baptist, Methodist. All they understand is, oh, the butterflies, the trees. We had a caller to say, oh, you know, they call me Mother Earth because I love the trees and the flowers. They're appreciating all of creation. Oh, I know everything is fine in my spirit because the butterflies come and they just land on me. And I roll around in the grass when I'm troubled. That's how they think now, young people. Isn't it awesome? So it is irrelevant that certain methods may have yielded results for untold thousands of years if that is not your own personal experience of it. It's got to be about you. So do not be inclined to feel that you are inadequate in your practice of a given technique or discipline if after a given amount of time, your experience is not rewarding. It may well be that that what is missing is not in the way of the discipline or that the discipline is done, but rather the energy that you have brought to doing it. So I went to this church once. And I decided to join this church. I had this just overwhelming, oh, I want to be godly, and I want to, oh, and everybody's doing this, and everybody's following this minister. Let me go and join this church. So I joined the church, and they take you in this room, and they commence to make you, force you to speak in tongues. And I'm sitting there, I cannot speak in tongues. The gift has not been given to me to speak in tongues. And I felt like such a failure. I really felt like, oh my God, I am really a sinner. I'm not worthy. I cannot speak in tongues. And they all looked at me like, you can't come here because something obviously is not right in your spirit that you cannot speak in tongues. Ooh, the judgment. So because I could not speak in tongues, based on their thought process, I could not be saved. Then they don't come out and say all of that, but that's the whole vibe. That was my perception, let me tell you. That was my perception. That's what I was feeling. That's what I was projecting out. That might not have been where they were coming from at all, but that's how I walked away feeling. But the minute I walked into New Thought and they talked about God being within me, a divinity within me, to love me, that God created me in divine perfection, that made sense. And I said, thank you, God. But that was my experience. Each of you have your own walk. And I love you and embrace you for it. I will never judge you for it. And I hope you can do the same with me. So when one approaches any effort, because now, listen, they're getting down to the real thing. When one approaches any effort with the energy of reluctance or half-heartedness, the result will not be satisfying. Listen, we've been studying these principles, right? And what's the number one principle that we know? The clue to when we're on the right path is when we are moving in our joy. If you are hesitant, if you are half-hearted, if you are reluctant, that means you are fearful. You are fearful. When you choose a spiritual path because your mind tells you that you should, you can expect to be disappointed. When you practice a spiritual discipline begrudgingly, enduring the repetitions rather than savoring them, the method will prove fruitless. For the vibrancy of any approach is based not on the mechanics of the practice, but upon your total surrender to the direction in which the practice leads you. If you can't jump in all the way, it's not going to serve you. It's not going to even serve the purpose. So the key to your success or your failure at any given technique has nothing whatsoever to do with the technique, but rather with the energy of joyousness. Hear that word? The energy of joyousness with which you approach it. You know, I love the people that are on Circles of Prosperity. I have so many of you that call and say, oh my God, this is just so amazing. I'm loving this so much. Anthony just almost jumps out of his skin. I had the opportunity to meet him, and in his presence, he's just bubbling with joy. Romnitha calls and says, Cynthia, please keep what you're doing. She's bubbling with joy. Pam, Cynthia, oh my God, this is right on. They're bubbling with joy. For them, this is resonating with them. Jean gets on the phone and goes, oh my God, this is powerful. This is powerful. Me and Dr. Reggie always laugh. We go, Jean says, oh, it's powerful. She's so filled with joy. It's powerful. I know I jump out of my skin when I hear these words. It's got to be about your joy. If you can't wake up in the morning and say, oh, I can't wait to get on Circles of Prosperity because it gives me joy, then you shouldn't be doing it. The minute that it's not joyful for you, it means you've gotten what you can from it and you move on. And that's okay. Here's an example. Let's say, for instance, you're practicing meditation, but there's an underlying attitude that, oh, this is a waste of time, or I'm not getting anywhere with this. You are virtually guaranteed that result. But when you surrender to the process, regardless of the style of your practice, then you have begun to lay a foundation for a wonderful experience. And you know what is so beautiful about this concept? Is that you can apply this to every area of your life. You want to succeed in business? Then you need to stop talking about how you're not going to make it. I may not make any money. Well, the worst case scenario would be such and such and such. Well, okay, these people may not like me. I mean, we find every problem that can possibly come up that will make our business unsuccessful. Rather than saying, you know what, I'm in this full-hearted, with all my heart, with all my soul, and I'm going to make it work no matter what. Because I love what I'm doing. And whoever I can service, I will service. Same principle. When you surrender to the process itself, I'm not very good at. Now let me change that. I have a lot of fear around math and statistics, really heady kind of stuff, because I'm a creative soul. And so for me to get through some of these courses that I'm taking, I have to work at shifting the energy of how I feel about them. And you know what I have found? When I shift the energy and I just surrender that I want to be here and totally experience this, and get what I can from it, I move through it with ease. And it actually starts clicking for me what they're trying to accomplish in statistics or economics or... sometimes it even turns into joy. But it required me to make a shift. It required me to surrender. The expectation of a result has no place in any spiritual practice and is the greatest single obstacle to the realization of that result. When one is present in the moment, in a state of heightened receptivity, one adds the essential ingredient to any spiritual practice. So you cannot go into a meditation expecting the angels to come. That's really what they're saying. Oh, or to expect the big light to come out of the sky and come over you. No, you can't go in with this expectation that you're going to have this magnificent realization. You need to go in and be in the moment. Because the moment that you move into expectation, you're creating at that point, right? Aren't you? You're focusing on creating, and you're creating what? In future time, are you not? Rather than just be in that moment, in the silence. Breathe, please. And connect with your divinity right at this moment. That's where it has to be, moment to moment. And it matters not whether you choose to follow in the footsteps of your ancestors in your expression of devotion or upon a path that no one has ever walked before, so long as your heart has led you to it. There is no point in pursuing any path or practice out of feelings of obligation, for the energy of reluctance serves to invalidate any possible positive result that may have been forthcoming. And so many of our fundamental religions almost make it an obligation. Some people call it fire insurance. If you don't want to go to hell, you better come to church. So, what's the outcome of that? Guilt and shame. And guilt and shame have no place in your selection of a vehicle for your expression of divine connectedness. And regardless of whether those adverse emotions are the basis of your continued adherence to an ancestral path or the emotional remnants of having abandoned one, the vibration of reticence serves to sour the potential sweetness inherent in one's chosen direction. Choose your direction from a place of contentment and heartfelt connectedness, and you will have embarked upon a route that will nourish you well along the way. And I know that there are a lot of people out there who have walked away from the church because it was not feeding them. They were seeking something else, but they still have a tremendous amount of guilt and shame from walking away. And to those people, I want to say that I love you and that God loves you. And continue to seek that which gives you joy. Seek for the path that will give you joy. And it doesn't matter how long it takes, because we are eternal. And you have all of eternity to find it. This is not a race. It's exactly what it says. It's a journey. And some of us may stop off in the mountains and spend and decide to stay there forever, or some of us may be traveling to try to get to a metropolitan city or to other countries or whatever it is. And I'm just using cities symbolically. I mean, I've studied Buddhism and Wicca and Baptist. I was Baptist, Episcopalian. I went through everything. Methodist, trying to find my path. But if you earnestly seek, you will find your path. So the sense of spiritual fulfillment that is sought universally is not dependent upon which affiliation is chosen or upon which of any number of rituals may or may not be performed. For the experience of joyous, divine connectedness transcends all barriers of culture and belief and has been experienced since time immemorial by beings of all backgrounds. The moment that you make that connection with your divinity, It transcends all of this dogma. And sometimes you just get a glimpse of it and you keep going back to get more and more. But it transcends the dogma. Your heart chakra just opens and expands and you're able to embrace everyone. That's powerful. That is so powerful. So there is absolutely no truth in the allegations that one path is the only true path or that one people are the chosen people. These are constructs created by man upon a foundation of fear. Remember I asked you guys earlier, why do we think that some of these religions, I forgot the question that I asked you, I can't remember the question I asked you, but I asked for you guys to answer the question why, let me just roll back here because I can't remember the question. The thing that I want you to hear here is that when we start segmenting and limiting, it was about limitation, limiting the way we have to find God. And that was what I asked you. Why do you think we limit the way we have to find God? And the answer is out of fear. Listen to it. There is absolutely no truth in the allegations that one path is the only true path or that one people are the chosen people, because these are constructs created by man upon a foundation of fear. All beings who themselves choose to recognize the truth of their own divine connection, those are the chosen people. Boy, that opens up the avenue quite a bit, doesn't it? For the choosing is not an action directed upon you by a divinity you would perceive to be external to you. In other words, it's not by God that is outside of you. That's not the whole purpose of choosing, that God is choosing you. No. The choosing is an affirmation sourced from the divinity within you of that connectedness. You are choosing to connect to the divinity that is within you. So one seeks not to be identified as having been chosen. For that level of choice is to attest to separation from others and from source or God. One knows oneself to personify choice and bestows upon oneself the affirmation that choice with every waking breath. So whether or not one chooses to express that state of beingness through rituals, is also a matter of choice and surely not a requirement for attaining nor sustaining a state of oneness. You who have been humbled under the yoke of fear into bearing the burden of the man-made dogmas of your world have been given a convoluted detour rather than a direct path to the divinity you seek. And so the beings who have instructed you in these practices have themselves been misled more often than not. And the fear-based tactics employed to bind you to a particular mode of worship are ones that have been used to ensnare the hearts of the very ones who teach such practices. So when one stops to question such fear-based systems of religion, one can see quite easily the motivation built into these systems by perpetuating the spiritual tyranny that has been perpetuated upon so many of you. Because the God that you long to know does not seek to control you. Please hear that. The God that you are seeking does not seek to control you or even to punish you when you choose to express the free will with which you have been gifted. Listen to that. Because you have not been provided with the opportunity to experience your divinity of physical form simply to have you follow a particular prescribed routine. You have been given unlimited freedom of choice. That's what free will is. And we know that God has given us free will. So we have an unlimited freedom of choice. And that choice encompasses all avenues of expression of your innate divinity. The opportunity here in these times of blossoming your self-awareness is to recognize the unlimited potential in who and what you are, and to gift yourself with permission to express that knowingness as you choose to. And you know, it just makes your life so much easier. Because if you're saying, hey, I'm living my life this way, I love the Jill Scott's song where she says, I'm living my life like it's golden. I'm living the divinity within me like it's golden. This is giving me joy. This is making me happy. And that you can let everybody else do it, express themselves however they want to express themselves because it's giving them joy. I don't have to judge. I don't have to worry about why somebody's a homosexual and whether or not it's right or wrong that they're a homosexual, or why they want to get married and whether or not it's right or wrong. I don't have to rack my brain over that. They are moving in their joy. They are expressing their divinity. God gave them free will. Why can't I? Dr. Reggie, please take us into our morning prayer this morning. I need to end it right here.
Okay.
And listen, I want you guys to, we're going to come back and finish up this chapter because for me it's yummy. How about you, Dr. Reggie?
I think it's great. It gives you another perspective that's outside of what you believe. The core being is that you find God within.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus was trying to tell people. That's what Buddha was trying to tell people. That's what Zoroaster, Mithras, Muhammad, they're all trying to tell people, no matter who I am and what I do, you can follow your own path, but God is in you. He made you to love and serve in yourself. And you are God energy expressing itself right here, right now.
Amen.
Listen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful, beautiful lesson that we don't have to search far to find you because the kingdom is within. And that kingdom is a palatial experience and a wonderful experience, knowing in our hearts you're always with us and coexisting with us. In our corner, you are for us, divinely protecting us with an orb and an energy reinforced in love and light. It is us to understand and our perception to be aware of this governing principle of our lives at all times, in this life and beyond this life, carrying us safely toward our evolved state of consciousness. And we thank you for it. And we are all bound by this beautiful energy of the Holy Spirit in this realm. We adore the energy of consciousness in who we are, having self-awareness and the profundity that will outsmart the doctors, the lawyers, the politicians, and everyone else, because that energy is beyond anything on earth, and we express it through us. We are the miracle workers because we believe and know who we are, and we create our experiences and our circumstances with every thought in every moment. And we thank you for this divinity of who we are, individually expressing ourselves. Let us go forward in love and in light with the world for others and accept them and embrace them no matter where they are in this station of life. I believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Thank you so much, Dr. Reggie. Listen, we'll be here tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. We're going to finish up this chapter. It may go into 3 days this week. So we're going to stop streaming now, but I have Anthony on the line. Go ahead. Hello.
Hey. How y'all doing? How are you all?
We're fine. How are you this morning?
Good. I just wanted to add to what you were talking about. You raised the question and opened the floor a couple of times, and of course I was en route home. I'm back in the nation's capital, and whenever the universe sees fit, I just feel like I have to be on this call because it has done my soul so much joy, and I'm just thankful. And then when you mentioned about that song by Gil Scott saying "Limited life like it's golden," it's as if she knows what time it is. Because if we don't live it like it's golden, then why should it be?
Mm-hmm.
Because we get to say. I mean, why would God allow? I always used to say this, even when I was in my Christian experience. I said, why would God allow you to have what you want when you don't even believe you can have it? Why would He do that? Why would He give you something that you don't even believe you are worthy of or should get it?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy to me. I mean, you want all this stuff, but you don't believe you'll get it. Then He gives it to you. If He gives it to you, bring it to you, you won't recognize it because you don't expect to get it.
That's right.
So
but that's all fear, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But this just goes to show you that we get to say. We get to say in our lives, we co-creators with God. So whatever it is we ask in His name, He will do it. He's been telling us for so long. But how do we miss that? Or is it that we let others interpret what that means?
We let others interpret
ourselves
what it means. So what does it mean to say? I have a question. You say whatever we ask for in His name. What does that mean to you?
What that means to me is whatever it is I declare, and when I declare things, so it is because He allowed me to write off and sign off on the checkbook or whatever it is I want. He gives me full autonomy because the dominion of the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. That's what that means to me.
So why do you tack on in His name?
And I guess it's just something I've just said, but that interpretation of what that means to me is the fact is whatever it is that I call Him, that's what He is.
Mm-hmm.
And He's different names, He's different sources. So I don't limit it just that name, but just identification thing, I guess, for me.
Okay. So I want to share this for you, with you, and you can take it or, you know, receive it or not. But to mm-hmm. when we say in His name, we're talking about His character. Remember in the Bible there were different names of God based on what you were what we were looking for, because they were talking about the different qualities or the different characteristics of God.
True.
Okay. So in His name means in the character of. Name is character. And all of the Bible, the names in the Bible represent the nature, the character of. So the nature of God, when it comes to speaking into manifestation, is what? Number one, to think it, and then number two, to speak it. So when you're saying,
and
you basically go back and say, I believe that if I declare and decree a thing, that it will come.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the nature of God. That's the nature of the divinity within us.
And that's the nature He wants us to have.
Right. So my thing that's is, the, I just, when you're saying it, I want you to know why you're saying it.
Exactly. And that's true. And you got to know. If you don't know, then you haven't experienced it.
Right. Right. And it makes your understanding, it empowers you even more as you're declaring and decreeing, because mm-hmm. that divinity is the nature of God. That divinity within you is an expression of God, is it not? And it's residing mm-hmm. right in you. So
yes.
You're speaking from the divinity. You're not speaking from
yes.
the ego, are we?
Oh, no, that's not ego. As the wizard would describe, you know, that describes when we are out of sync with nature and with God. No, that's ego, but that's coming straight from the source of God within me. And when we say I am, like we said the other night through meditation, I am that I am. That is, I am the character. I am the full characteristics of God.
Amen.
Yes, that's what that means. Yes, and I'm just thankful.
It takes you to a whole nother level. And listen, some people right now will say, oh, my God, that's blasphemous. That's what they said to Jesus, isn't it?
I don't think I would be bold enough to say it. But now I understand what that means to me, and it doesn't matter because I get to say.
Amen.
And it don't bother me because, I mean, I get it. People are traveling a path on their own journey. Look at a tree. Tree has many branches, many leaves.
Yes.
They have basically a root that gives their source of energy and life.
That's exactly so true. When you get in touch with the divinity within you, you can look at your brothers and sisters in their fear and really pray for them there, and you're not offended by them. You embrace them where they are with love.
And shift the energy in their presence.
Yes.
That's what they need.
Yes.
The brother said, man, it's a bad day. Oh, it's raining. I say, raining? Well, I love the rain because every day when I eat something, I'm thankful that crop, that food needed some water in order to grow. So I'm thankful.
Yeah.
That energy.
Shifting it.
It's so thankful. Well, I love you guys. I love you guys and your family. And we're having a great time.
We are. We extended this show a little bit so you could share with us. I love it when everyone shares. And here lately, nobody wants to share. So thank you, Anthony, for coming on. All right, guys, I'm going to go ahead and end the session and log out. You guys have a blessed and wonderful day, and we'll be here tomorrow. Bye-bye.